The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission in your mind. He is Michael Coleman, lots of M's here, heart of Alabama Food Bank, joins us every single week. And you sent me a very interesting article about learning versus impact. I like when you send me these articles, and there's graphs and there's things all over the numbers and all kinds of. So I get a little excited because I'm a numbers guy, man. I'm into graphics and stuff. First of all, how are you doing? What's going on? What's happening down there in the beautiful Montgomery, Alabama?
Well, we just got notification from Feeding America that our that's across the nation that food insecurity numbers are going up, and it's probably a direct result of inflation. So that keeps us busy. Which kind of drives me to articles like this about how to have impact and learning, and kind of you get into, you're either sometimes doing one or the other. And it was kind of the whole thing about how do you prevent that from happening? And I know a lot of my peers and stuff, they get to where they're doing, I can just see it on their faces. They do what they do. They're in the late 50s, early 60s. They may be thinking about retirement. They may be thinking about things that they enjoy more than what they do. I am incredibly blessed to get to come to work and do something that I enjoy doing. And I don't take that for granted, because it is. It's a true blessing from God. But I also understand that I can get into a rut like anybody else. You know, because when I first came here, I was like, wow, there's a million things to do. And there's still a significant amount of tasks. But the whole point of the article is, you know, when you come in, you're learning, mm-hmm. You know, you're drinking from a fire hose, and things, depending on how much experience you have and how fast you can grasp it and adapt it and kind of look forward, your impact is typically not going to have, is not going to be very high, because you're mulling through all these other things, these technicalities. But then, and I've suffered from this in my life many times, why this article really spoke to me, is I feel like, hey, I've gotten through it. I've gotten kind of on top of my game. And then I tend to kind of start getting a little bored, and I'm looking for the challenge, and I'm like, well, I guess I got to go find another job or go step up somewhere and do something to keep my interest, to keep me engaged. And really, this is a whole idea about not letting yourself get there, but always kind of while you're having high impact, as you still keep that learning aspect. And it was just some suggestions as to how to do that. But the whole thing really spoke to me, because I see people as they get my age, and they're beginning to, you know, you can just see it on them. Like, hey, mm-hmm. I've been working since I've been 18 years old. You know, I'm getting tired of working, and I'm starting to think about being at the lake, and I'm starting to be about fishing every day, or playing golf every day, or hunting all the time. And their interest, they're like, hey, I can do my job with my eyes closed.
Yep.
I don't need to keep studying about my career field. I don't need to keep coming in doing things. And so the effect is, lots of times we used to refer to this soldiers in the Army as this. We'd call them, oh, he's road. And road stood for retired on active duty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like you get a few years from retirement and you just start coasting, baby, all sure. the way to the end. Yeah. You're not going to get anything special out of them. They'll come to work. They'll check the block. They're not going to do anything hard. They're not going to do anything innovative, challenging. They're just going to coast to the finish line. And it can happen so easily before we even recognize it. And I've seen people who have fulfilling jobs. They're excited about their jobs. They're working hard towards their jobs. But when you get to that place, then you kind of not only become stagnant, but you make the job less impactful because you're not as engaged in it as you normally would be.
You see that a lot in pension-related jobs when people have a certain amount of years they got to put in under their belt, and they're just looking at their watch going, okay, I got two more years to get this under. And they, quite frankly, they don't want to step out. But I got firefighter friends of mine and police officer friends of mine, and they've spent 20 or 25 years of service, and they're like, please just get it behind the desk job for the last 2 years. I don't want to lose you. You've done everything you can do. I want you to, and they're like, no, this is part of the job. What's really interesting in this article too is it kind of goes along with marriage and relationships. It's the same thing. I mean, your relationship's going really well. Well, there's nothing really new to it, but you've done really, really well at what's going on. You both kind of see each other's sides, but you know, everything around you, peripherally speaking, is changing, particularly if you have children. So whether you like it or not, your relationship's always going left or right. It's never staying in the same spot. It's always moving left or right, better or worse. And so it's important to keep things fresh and do those things. And so there's several things in this learning versus impact that you can actually do. Let's go through some of these really, really interesting too, because in this particular case, someone was talking about, you know, working at, of all things, a Facebook situation where they were working for like 11 years and they realized that they just were really, really good at what they did. And they realized that being on a job, they said, ooh, well, that was their learning and growth had been slowed. They were spending nearly all their time practicing and executing what they already knew, which meant I had to take time and activation energy to create ways of honing brand new skills. And so it basically says a few ways to bring back learning into the role. So where you have a maximum impact, not only for yourself, but also for the people that are working around you. So pick a challenge. What's that mean?
Well, and I've really thought about this. You know, it's a little bit different with somebody like this in my position, because as a CEO, I can do things like address some of these from a different lens than others. So if you're the CEO or the owner of a business, you can pick a challenge business related because you have the ability to control the vision, to control what you want to do, the direction of your business. If you're somebody who is a career employee and maybe halfway up, you know, mid-level management, you're not going to be able to do things necessarily with the business because you're going to have limitations of people over you. However, all these things can apply to personally things that you can do and professionally, not necessarily in the sense of taking your job somewhere else or taking your company to another level. But what you'll find is that by stirring up those juices of innovation and working towards things, it really can help you kind of, you know, get fresh, you know, even approach work in a fresh perspective. So what they mentioned in there was, you know, pick something that maybe you're not strong at. And a lot of people are like, look, I've spent, you know, you take something like public speaking. I've spent my whole life avoiding public speaking. Why do I want to tackle that, you know, this late in my life? Mm-hmm. But I have done some things and my attitude towards it can peter out real quick. Like, for instance, I was like, okay, you know what? I know a little bit. I've been exposed to some different languages. And I'm like, you know what? I may just sign up for Bible and just learn Spanish or something. Guess what? I'm horrible at languages. And so, you know, that lasts a little while. I may say, hey, I want to, you know, my dad was a great woodworker. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I want to do that. Well, I'm not a great woodworker. He was very detailed and I'm up here in the ideas and, you know, ADHD. Woodworking is not, I love it, but those things are not great for me. So I look at myself and I'm looking at, okay, what is it that you either want to improve on in your life and take on that challenge or do something that you've never done before, but push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone. It's going to maybe require some effort. It doesn't have to be some big, gigantic life change, but it just the idea of taking on something new. I remember before my dad passed away, you could look back over the last few years of his life. And what you saw happening was, in part, we didn't know how bad his vision was. And mm-hmm. So that was affecting a lot of the detail work that he made guns. He could do anything woodworking. He was just really smart, self-taught. But he just started losing interest. And again, because he was having trouble seeing and did not want to admit how bad that was. But you could just see after a while, he lost interest in his business. Then he started losing interest in his hobbies. And he became more and more isolated. And so it's just not good for your brain. It's not good for your mental health to just coast through life. You need to get those neurons connecting and rebuilding those things and creating new ones. And so pick a challenge that's doable. We're not talking about going from being on the couch to climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah.
But just take up an interest or pick a challenge. And I mean, it could be something like right now I'm paying for a gym membership. I'd like to think I'm not the only one.
How's that going?
But I opened up a gym membership. I'm embarrassed to say this, but a little self-deprecation is okay. In December, I had a great idea. Hey, I need to go to the gym. I could not. My legs are as white as out-of-bound steaks in golf. And I'm like, hey, Planet Fitness, you go over there. It's a bunch of other fat losers like me. Mm-hmm. And then I can get some sun and all that. And that was in December. So I signed up. I'm having the monthly. It is now May. I've never stepped foot in a Planet Fitness in my life. Now, and so occasionally I will come along and say, hey, that's my challenge, right? And, you know, so I'm a little bit preaching to myself through this. Yeah. I've got the challenge picked out. I just hadn't carried through with it. And I know I need, and the exercise and all that really is good for the mind, good for the body. It's just something I need to do.
No, Dr. Josh, we've done several shows on this. You know, when you start the gym memberships, there's two things that are really important. First of all, do you have a support system? Do you have someone you can do it with? It always helps. And second thing is it close to the house? Because if you start a membership that's like 30 minutes away, you're never going to use it.
Never going to do it.
And
this was close to the house. I don't have my wife on board yet.
You know, you can say, oh, it's close to work. You know, I can do it on the way into work. And you're not going to do it on the way to work. You're not going to do it after work. You know, you're just not going to work. You're not going to work out before you go to work. And you're not going to do that. But, you know, I also think it's interesting to hear you talk. I've been around a lot of people that are go-getters that are always coming up with different ideas. And sometimes I think that they feel like they have to always doing something new for some reason, but they don't do anything new for a very long time. Maybe it's, you know, and I'll use some people that were very important in my life at one point where they had a hobby and they would get really hot and heavy on something. I mean, just all day, all night. You know, we'd be out in the driveway at 9:30 at night doing something, you know, and then that would last about 3 months. And all of a sudden it'd get shelved. It would find its place in the garage. And next thing you know, there was something different, you know, and then it was different. Then we wanted to get into a business, something, and we wanted to do this. And I'm just like, you know, and as long as the, you know, they were passionate about something, that was like, great, you know, that's good. But then they never really found something that they, and maybe that was the whole idea. Maybe it wasn't something maybe you don't want to learn to speak fluent Spanish. Maybe it's good to you just to be a bilingual a little bit, to be able to go to Spain and be able to ask someone where the bathroom is. I mean, maybe that's the importance. It's not going to take Taekwondo and having to be a black belt. You can learn something just by trying something out. And I certainly understand that, but I always question myself, you know, what's wrong with being content? But you know,
that's such a great distinction. Because so I look at this. So take my role here at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. So one of the things is I'm always looking to innovate. And that means, and I even tell people up front, because people who like want to do something and just, hey, we've made the change, let's just sit still for a while. But even while we're innovating, I'm looking beyond the innovation to what potentially is next. And it, depending on your personality, it can either be refreshing. You love challenges. You love new stuff. It keeps things flowing. There's always new to learn, because with every inch of innovation forces a downstream of learning for everybody in their new areas. One great thing that we've been doing recently with Feeding America is just across the Feeding America network, there's a $3 million pound protein deficit, pound deficit. So we partner with Tyson here in Alabama at their plant, and we're sending a truck and at least picking up a truckload of donate chicken every week. We take it to a processor. They process it in bag size that we can redistribute. Well, it's created a little bit of a revenue stream for us, but we're also bringing food in to the network. So it's one situation where everybody wins. Mm-hmm. But it's very difficult. There's only one other food bank out of over 200 that are doing the same thing. Wow. And so there's a lot of logistics and there's a lot of reasons to go, oh, this is just too difficult. But we have pushed through, and we've innovated. And now because we've pushed through here, there's even a bigger opportunity to connect with other plants that are also producing protein that have this ability. So when I'm looking at this, this alone will is enough to keep so many people fresh and new, but ultimately benefit. And I feel like as a leader, I never want to get our organization stagnant. Now, I want to balance, you know, like you talked about with contentment, is I want to pursue excellence, but I'm always looking to not to go beyond excellent, because then you're just talking about perfection and that's never going to exist. But I'm always looking at where can we squeeze just a little bit more juice. But going back to your content, it's always a balance of what I'm asking my employees to do, how much can they handle, how much strain and stress and strain. So it's valid what you said about, you know, about contentment, both mm-hmm. personally and professionally. Where's that line? My fear is that it's so natural for people just to get emotionally sedentary, sure. just going through the motions. And they say, well, I'm content. But then once you go down that path, it's so hard to get started back again into anything that challenges you. And a lot of those years are ultimately just, they just become a blur because you're just going through them with no real purpose and real intent in life.
You know, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, and not to sound, you know, cliche-ish here, but I think it has a lot to do with the chapters of the books we're in our lives. You know, we always talk about doors opening, doors closing, this, that, and the other. And I can look back at, you know, I used to have a summer project every year. For about 10 or 15 years, I had a summer project. One year I built a deck. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to build a deck. Yeah. Another time I laid out pavers. You know, I took out a sidewalk and laid out pavers. And another time I built a little waterfall and there was something else I did. And I was one year I built just a rock and fence that was unbelievably difficult to do. It took me all three. And so, you know, I always looked at it like it's going to be get me outside. It's going to be one way to exalt some energy, particularly get away from the kids. Perhaps if I can be out in the front yard, they can be out there with me at the same time. And it was just something I really enjoyed doing. And then it got to the point where I just shut it down.
Yeah.
And obviously there were a lot of things in my life that were changing at the same time. And so, you know, but I look at those times and go, wow, man, the energy I used to have to do those things now, yeah. now it's, you know, now you just, there's some nights, let's be honest, you're just happy to make it to the chair. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, yeah. So, but yeah, yeah. But there's all kinds of different ways that you can do these things. And it's interesting because I was talking to my son the other day. We went to Dave and Buster's for my son's birthday a couple months ago. And I had me and my three kids and we were playing a video game where we were all shooting something. It was a dinosaur game. We were shooting dinosaurs. I don't play games where you shoot humans, you shoot dinosaurs. And we were having a blast, you know, and I looked at my son. I said, man, I could really see where people can really get hooked on this stuff. And he's like, oh, dude, he is, you know, at Clemson College, there's people that before they even go pee, they get out there and they're playing a video game. You know, I mean, they roll out of bed. They're sitting there in their rooms in their underwear playing a video game before they even go to the bathroom to start school. And I was like, and I thought to myself, you know, that's probably not something that I should get involved in because I like games too. I'm more of a Sudoku kind of guy, but I could certainly see where, you know, Xbox and video games and why the business is so big and stuff. And because quite frankly, I don't really see the good comes out of that. It's just a time taker upper. I mean, if it's something that you want to get away with and just spend some alone time and go do some stuff with some friends, that's fine. But I mean, as far as, you know, I could have said back in the day, I would have helped my ambidextrous energy or something, you know, for my work or something. And I'm like, yeah, All right. Pick a challenge, innovate, create something new. Something I think you do a really good job at. Help someone else. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many opportunities. You know, you think about it, there's so many opportunities to volunteer, so many opportunities to be on a board. Maybe like, hey, just, you know, maybe it could just be smaller things. It could be, but it doesn't necessarily, in helping someone, you might kind of going back to the create something new, you might just have a book club, or you might start. One of the things I've talked about with my Rotary Club, they have a lot of great bourbon drinkers. Mm-hmm. And we just had a guy, and there was kind of a bourbon connoisseur. And he passed away, and, you know, we all miss him very much. And we talked about just having a group of guys just going out in the afternoon after work and all, you know, just sipping on one and just talking about guy stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of guys would love to do that, you know, like come from work and just decompress.
Sure.
Before they go home. And, you know, and even things like that is building camaraderie, and it's building fellowship, and can help somebody's mental health and their whole outlook on life. Just little things like that. But, you know, it, some people look at that and it's like, oh, it's just one more thing I got to do. But, you know, I really enjoy, and I get it. I'm extroverted. So I gain energy from being with other people. And so I understand the introvert's perspective on that. But I feel like just spending other time and being sharpened by other people, it gives me a time to express what's going on in my life and gives me that outlet, not from a, I want you to fix it. We're just guys just and cutting up and just building that fellowship. And so all of those, I think, are really, really good and help feed into the mindset. Going back to this just original mind, the original idea was, you know, impact versus learning. When I'm sitting around a bunch of guys and you know, in our, from 55 to 65, they have amazing experiences that they, in some of the nonprofit world, some of the business world, some of the military, some all this. So they, we have a scuba instructor that goes down. I mean, just so many incredible things. And you're just sitting around and you're with a bunch of guys that are talking about experiences and it's refreshing and you learn and you, and that is something that, so it's not, when I say pick a challenge, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's just painful. Like I'm thinking of going to the gym. It could be something that's fun and sociable and new, but too often, and I go back again to my dad, is we just start, as we get older, we start to retreat back, we start to isolate, and all of that is unhealthy. Just because we're older doesn't mean, and we are doing our jobs at a master's level, does not mean that we should not be striving to learn and grow as a person.
I think there's something that hits me. I call it the 401 syndrome, 401k syndrome.
Yeah.
I will think about something when I was 51, 52, and now I'm 58 and think to myself, damn it, if I just started what I was going to start, I'd be 7 years into this. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows how good I'd be on the piano right now if I took that piano lesson I was going to take 7 years ago. And I was going to. You know, if I had just started saving a couple of years earlier on my 401k, just think where I'd be. And I mean, there's reasons why we don't start those things. There's reasons why maybe we start some things, they go off different directions. I always think that anytime we get an opportunity to be around our brothers and our sisters, I always think it's good. That's one of those things where, you know, I'm part of a lot of support groups. I do a lot of things with alcoholics and addiction stuff through UAB. And, I take that time very seriously and I really enjoy my time and hearing other experiences and strength and hope through those individuals. And, you know, that's always a win. I always learn something. Yeah. I always hear something. I learn something. There was a group of guys that you're talking about grabbing a bourbon every night or every couple of nights after work. There was a group of guys that I met down at this Kangaroo gas station down here off of Valleydale. About 6 years ago, Bo Koshat and those guys, he ran a sod shop. And I went down there one morning and ran into him. He's like, "Hey, you got a few minutes?" I was like, "Yeah." So I went inside and got a cup of coffee. And next thing you know, and he's like, "I'll be down here tomorrow morning, 6:15. If you want to come down," I said, "Sure." Within about a month, we had about 13 of us meeting out this gas station, having a cup of coffee for about 15 or 20 minutes. No big deal. Could have turned into a Bible study or something. And as easily as it got built up, it dispersed. But it was just a really neat. And I remember that experience. And I remember the people I met, and I still further those relationships in a lot of different ways. So there's all kinds of different ways.
It really speaks to that human mm-hmm. desire we have to have fellowship and to be with people and to be connected to people and things outside of ourselves.
Which I really think we've lost a lot of. And I mean, I don't know if I could pin all of it on COVID, but we're just not connected anymore. Yeah. We're not making eye contact like we used to. We don't shake hands. We don't touch each other anymore. I think that's, it's touching is one of our five main senses, and we should treat it as such. And it's just as important as hearing or smelling or tasting or anything else. So it's very, really interesting. Anything else on this list that you saw? I know there's fixing a problem, picking something up, banking a win, and helping someone else. Is there anything else that was on this particular list that you really wanted to get into?
No, I mean, I would just say that, it talks about, each one of these is going to take you to some degree outside of your comfort zone. And I don't necessarily agree with all that. I mean, I love to innovate. And so innovating doesn't take me out of my comfort zone. I pursue innovation because it's new and it's, but for the vast majority of people, the things that it's talking about is picking something new, pick a challenge and all that. Don't let it, we're not talking about dominating your time. We're not talking about being so difficult it's unachievable. We're not talking about from the couch to a marathon. Mm-hmm. Pick little things, but just try to get in the mindset of continuing to work your mind and continue to learn. I want to be a learner of things all the way up. And, if I live to be 80, 90 years old, there's no way I'm going to live to be 90, but if I live to be 80 years old, I want to be learning and seeing new things and having my mind challenged all the way up to the day I draw my last breath.
Hey, if Willie Nelson and William Shatner can make it to 90, you can make it to 90.
Maybe so.
We can do that. All right, Michael, thank you so much, and we'll catch him next week.
Yes, sir.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.